If you have your Bibles today, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. I mean, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this alien, this one outside the realm of the blessings of Jerusalem?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." I think that we need to really look at this and understand that there's a real sense of the miraculous happening here. A sense of God's love. You know, in today's society, thankfulness or gratitude, if you will, is lacking in most areas. The words "thank you" or "great job" seem to be losing meaning and their place in the language of families, local employment places, and in normal conversations. You know, it seems to me that some folks just don't know how to say thank you anymore. They take it for granted. They just don't know how to say, "I really appreciate that," or "great job." We're living in a society that almost is in a spoiled child syndrome. They expect everything but have no gratitude for anything. And showing gratitude even for the greatest task can be oftentimes overlooked. The character of this modern society. One could say that a spoiled child has written the manual of being thankful after a blessing has been bestowed. Never say thanks. Always ask, though. Never show the gratitude that is deserved someone for what they've done. That is not the right way to think. I assume, or you could assume, and have a deep conviction, which even after a miracle such as has been portrayed in the text that I just read here during a reading, of that you would sense in your heart a great bit of gratitude from all that were involved. You would believe that everybody would be involved. I mean, leprosy is a horrible disease. What we do not see is after Jesus had given them the command, "Go," we do not see the Lord looking for them to return. He was just moving on in his journey. He wasn't looking for them to return to be thankful. He does not state "go" and then say to themselves, "Come on back." He simply sent them to the priest. He didn't say, "And once you're done there, return and thank me." Because having gratitude is a natural response, a moral response, an ethical response when something kind has been done to you. No matter what level of kindness that it may be. The Bible, God's Word, is full of God's miraculous power touching not only individuals but nations. His promises are full of hope, of healing, salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, moving and living in power, and having a great life, a life that is full of God and a life that is full of power a wholesome life, a moral life, an ethical life, a biblical life, a life that simply states that God is there in my life and I'm so thankful for it. I praise Him that He's there. And it was His mercy and compassion for those He created that was defined by His actions. You study this out, you'll find that He was moved by the compassion. He felt the misery of these lepers in their time of pain, their sense of being away from. It is only good manners, the natural ability to be thankful for such a blessing, which was obviously not the testimony here for all of them. I'd like to speak to you this morning, if I can, on three distinct points. The place of the miracle, the obedience to the command, go, and the response of the leper. The place of the miracle is so important. We see the depth of this story in Luke 17. We see it is immense in detail and responsibility, both on the Lord and the ones being healed. The Lord sensed a great responsibility towards these men that were covered with leprosy. He was just going where He was going. He was on the border. He was in between Galilee and Samaria. This is where you found Him a lot if you study His journeys. He was constantly there between the Jew and the Gentile, constantly reaching out and trying to minister to whoever would be there. Let's talk about the place of the miracle for a moment. The location does not seem to matter, but it does when you realize that where He was walking. It does matter when you see Him so close to Samaria. You see Him so involved in a place where it seems always a difficult area when you think about, well, I thought He came back for only the Jewish people, but He came back to minister to all mankind. He came back to bring His life to the end on Calvary's cross, there where He would die for all mankind, not just the Jewish people. He died for each and every one of us that we would become saints of the living God, children of the living God. You know, I want you to stop and think for a moment before I begin to preach, is that this King of Kings, this Lord of Glory, suffered a horrific death for you and I. He didn't stub his toe. He didn't have his hand shut in the door. He didn't have somebody wrestle him to the ground and punch him. He died a horrific death. Spit at, punched, slapped, mocked, scourged, stripped, beaten, carrying a cross up the Via Dolorosa to the top of the hill called Golgotha, nailed to a cross, his hands and his feet, his side pierced till every drop of blood came out, till water drained and nothing left. His body was so messed up you couldn't tell that he was a human. The Bible says that his visage was so bad you could not tell that he was human. I mean, that's horrific. But I wonder how often people are so silent towards praising Him and thanking Him for what He did. We oftentimes forget about our salvation. The place where miracles can happen is where Jesus is. Your miracle can happen even today. When you least expect it, Jesus is there. Your hope is answered. Your promise is fulfilled. Your prayer comes back from heaven on the wings of angels, and He touches your life, and a miracle happens. You see, you need to recognize the place that you're in. We see, we have to understand where mankind is torn in belief and judgmental relationships. where society has placed critical assumptions about who is to be more respected, he shows up and changes the pattern. You know, we can look at John chapter 4, and they went out, the disciples, to go find food, and he said, I'm going to hang out at the well. Because he had looked down the road, and he saw that this woman was going to come out of that township. And he began to challenge her, and she began to answer him back like she knew more than he did. But he literally told her, he said, who we worship is right, and who you worship is wrong, and our worship brings salvation. You have to understand that Jesus was there for a purpose, and he's in your life today. He's in this church today for a purpose. Amen. That woman was the first evangelist found in the New Testament. Come meet the man who told me everything about me, who knew every niche and cranny and corner of my life and heart. Come meet him. She drew a whole town out to meet him at the well. He was in the place, and she was the end and the receptacle of a miracle. And because she received the miracle, she brought others to the miracle of salvation. It was a normal day that she would go to the well and try to gain water to drink, to maybe bring back to her household or others. But she met the one that would quench her thirst forever. She met the living water. She met Jesus Christ, and he touched her. We can talk about the Syrophoenician woman found in Mark in chapter 7, where she simply wanted her daughter to be delivered from demon possession. Jesus said, you know, Noah, I'm here for the children of Israel. And she said, well, even the dogs receive the crumbs on the floor that the children of Israel throws off the table. Jesus said, I've not found this great faith in all of Israel that I've found with this woman. You see, when we assume and we put judgments that Jesus can't do anything, when he's in the place, he can do everything. He can touch any life, no matter who they are. You know, we feel sometimes if people come from a certain neighborhood, they can get more. If they have a certain name, they can get more. If they got a heritage, they could get more. Let me tell you how you get more. You meet Jesus. You know who he is, and you watch what he can do. The location you may find for yourself when you're in hopelessness. In the place of a miracle, you can find hope. When you are uncertain about your relationship, you can find certainty in Jesus Christ. When you find yourself cast off, you can find that he will draw you in. In the place of the miracle. You see, Jesus was there for a purpose. He knew he was in the right place. He realized that he was the Son of God. He was the Master. And he was near the place of pain and rejection. He realized that somebody that day would speak to him. And with a loud cry, these lepers should have stated, they should have yelled, they should have shouted with their hand over their mustache. That's the law found in Leviticus chapter 13, 45 through 46. Their hand should have been over their lip or their mustache, as it is in Hebrew. And they should have screamed out, unclean! Unclean! They were cast off at a distance. They were back. But no, they knew that someone different was coming by. Someone named Jesus was coming by, and they stood back and they yelled out to him, Jesus, Master! And the Greek word for master literally means chief, commander. In other words, they were calling out to the chief commander of life, have mercy on us. You see, you need to know where your place of a miracle can be. Wherever Jesus is, there is an opportunity for the miraculous in your life. There's a place where he'll touch you, and how quickly he responded to his nearness. Forgetting all national antipathy. He didn't think that, oh, there's a Samaritan over there, I better not get close. He didn't think of, what are they doing? You see, birth may cause separation and segregation. But when people are dying, there's no time for that. It draws people together. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever gone to a funeral and you see how families draw together at death? Everybody's friendly. Oh, I miss you. How have you been? And you're literally thinking, most likely in your mind, oh, how come you're asking me 20 years later how I've been? You see, death doesn't cause people to separate. It brings people closer together. And these 10 lepers weren't worried about if one was a Samaritan and the 9 other were Jews. They didn't worry about that. They had a common disease called leprosy. And I'll tell you today, there's a common disease on this earth called sin. Amen. And those people are climbing together. They're gained together. They're tied together by that common cause that the enemy has infiltrated their life and has caused them to sin and fall back and be cast off away from the kingdom of God. But we serve a king today that literally comes by. There's no time for hatred and hostility when you're going through a tough time. The master comes through the house. He's in the house. Jesus comes during such times to be so well defined. He comes and he puts away such erroneous feelings and judgments. He doesn't matter on him. It doesn't matter what's going on. Jesus, the master, is in the shouting distance. He is near. I wonder sometimes when people are going through so much pain and so much trouble, why they don't shout unto the Lord their God. Why they don't call out to Jesus. I wonder why they get on their cell phones and try to call people through the cell phone networking system, or why they get on a landline and try to call somebody on the landline system, or get on a Facebook and try to get social with somebody there, and instead talking about difficulties and complaining about things in life. When Jesus is near, they should shout to Jesus, Jesus, Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, amen. Oh, somebody praise him in the house today. Jesus is near. You must recognize the place of your miracle. And wherever he is, there is a place for a miracle. Amen. Secondly, we need to look at the obedience to the command, go. Jesus did not hesitate because of the ill state of these lepers. He did not choose out the Jews from the Samaritan. He chose all and commanded them all to go. He was quick to feel their misery. And he knew their pain and anguish. He knew that may have been all of them together were lonely and away from society. But they knew that there were those that they were away from that loved them. But the law would not let any social time together. He was touched by that misery. Touched by that loneliness. There's time in their life they were living outside the camp. Do you know what that's like? To live away from? Outside the realm of love and grace and mercy? You see, I'll never forget what it was like. You see, oftentimes we forget what it was like to live outside the camp, and that's why we forget to praise him. That's why we don't worship him. That's why we have a hard time coming together in corporate worship, because we forgot what he did for us. Do you know one day I was on my way to hell, but he turned me around, and when I was going to go through the go light, he had me turn over to the U-turn lane, and I did a U-turn. Amen. And now I'm heading the other way. I'm heading towards glory. Behind me, I can look at a view of Calvary, and in front of me, I've got an upward glance of the throne of God. Amen. We have to understand who we serve and what He did for us and why He did it. That's why when there's sin in every person, there's a way out of that sin, because that sin keeps you from the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, I am the door and the way. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but through Him. He brings us in and out, and we find our pasture. Let me say to you today that this is the place of America, and there is a command where He said, go. They responded. They went right away. They needed to be healed. They responded. He said, go. Show yourself to the priests. They weren't instantly healed. I'll stop there for a moment. I sense the Holy Spirit say, stop. So many times people get prayed for and they don't get instantly healed at the altar, and they go home hopeless. You see, God's given you the go command when you get prayed for. Go in faith. Believe for your healing. Trust in what God will do for you. How'd church go today? Well, everybody got healed but me. Maybe yours isn't instantaneously. Maybe it's going to be a progressive healing. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord, He knows how to heal. He knows how to command. But He also expects dynamically obedience to His command. To believe in what He has said to do. It may not be something that you want to do. It was Naaman, wasn't it, back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings. It said, I'm not going down into that river 10 times. I'm better than that old dirty prophet. I'm not going down there. Not me. And finally, he got so sick of that leprosy, he said, well, maybe I'll give it a try. I'll tell you, some of you may be by the sound of my voice today, you're getting to get sick or you're running from him. Maybe you should give it a try, what he's telling you to do. Amen. Don't listen to the enemy say, stop. Listen to Jesus say, go. And they went. They were cleansed. Through obedience, cleansing came. Nothing is blessed in disobedience. Nothing will ever happen in disobedience. It's when you're obedient to Jesus, that's when the miracle happens. The great miracle of salvation comes when you're obedient to Jesus. When you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He is the only begotten Son of God and the Savior of the world. I'll give you a little secret here today. A mystery found in the Word of God. You may not know it, but I'm going to give it to you today. You can write it down, lock it in your memory, however you do. Chew your gum faster. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes, here it comes. When you want to get rid of the enemy of the soul, confess. Open confession. The devil doesn't know how to handle it. I can never say this out loud. Oh, say it out loud. The devil, get loose. You loose the enemy from you, amen. Hallelujah. It just works that way. Now slow down on your gum. I don't want you to bite your tongue. Let me tell you something. How important it is to know that the glory of the Lord is in this place, and how He miraculously wants to touch the hearts of every believer that's here. He wants us to know His power, His love. He wants us to show ourselves to the world that we're clean, we're set free, we're okay. But how often do we not respond in obedience? Billions have been saved because of how men and women had responded to the go command in Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Just think if they said, no, we're not going. We're going to hang out here in Jerusalem. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to go. How many people would not have been saved? To obey the go means that you've been at the place of a miracle. And now you have the courage and are highly encouraged to go where He directs you to go. Well, I don't want to go because I'm afraid to go. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear not, for I am with you 365 times in the Bible. One for every day of the year. Amen. Fear not, for I am with you. You know, Jesus, I'm going to put it simple. Jesus just wants to hang out with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to empower you. That's why He said, go. Because He's going with you. As a matter of fact, the angel of the Lord will go before you. He'll open up the path for you. That's why there's no mountain high enough. There's no ocean deep enough, no river wide enough. There's no valley deep enough that will keep you from following Him. Seek the Lord, the Bible says, while He may be found. Amen. Go! Obey the Lord and watch your miracle come to pass. Some of us, like myself, live progressive miracles every day. Because when you get saved, you get called, you're living out that miracle every day. I don't think you caught that. Let me throw that again. Get your mitt, make it a little bit bigger. When you are saved and He calls you, you are living out your progressive miracle every day. You're coming to that place where He can move in your life. And then thirdly, there's the response that happens. This was not a response from the whole that were healed that day, though. Just one returned with a loud voice and glorified God. He saw that he was healed. So did the other nine. You know, I can't help but tell Jesus for the first half hour of my prayer time, thank you. Thank you for taking a mess and unmessing it. Thank you for taking someone that was deep in sin and you dug me out and you put me on a rock with a sure foundation, and you put a new song in my heart. You've established my growings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for filling me with the Holy Ghost and power. Thank you for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for just calling me to preach the gospel of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for calling me to be a pastor and evangelist. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I don't go to God every day and ask Him for everything in the world. I go to God every day and praise His name. Thank Him for who He is and what He's done. And then I ask Him to give you everything in the world. Amen. understand that there's a response. He noticed that there had been a change. He no longer had to put his hand over his mustache and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Now he could get back into the company with his family. He could socialize again. There was no leprosy on his body. He noticed there was a change. He obeyed the go command, and on his obedience as he was going, he was healed. And he didn't keep going. He stopped and came back and fell at the feet of Jesus and shouted, "Thank you, Lord." Hallelujah. He was once decaying, rotting, dying. That flesh was. But now that flesh was alive. Friend, you were once rotting, decaying, and dying. And now you are alive. The question I have to ask you is, why don't some of you act alive? Because if that's life, I don't want it. Life is alive. It's exciting. It puts a smile on your face. It puts a starry look in your eyes. It gives you radical thoughts to praise Him. Amen. And hearing to hear Him. And to know Him. And to be blessed by Him. And to be thankful for what He's done. Amen. He was so thankful that he was forgiven. I wonder how many take Jesus for granted in the hour we live in. Never to worship Him. Never to praise Him. Never to pray to Him. I don't understand why folks don't worship Him. I don't understand why folks don't praise Him. I really don't understand why people don't pray. It's so simple to pray. I mean, you don't have to be real floral in it. You don't have to tell God that the fields are beautiful today with the lilies and the green grass is blowing in the soft wind that He has produced across this earth, and the billowing clouds up there remind you of His billowing love coming down upon you. You can just say to Him, "Hey, you know what, Jesus, you know, I really love You." You know, you can just get with it. You can just sit down and talk to Him. Am I preaching to you all right today? Do you understand that Jesus is available all the time? He is there. He wants to instill faith in your life. Somebody asked me, "Preacher, how do you grow in faith?" Well, you just go in faith. Then you'll grow in faith. How can I get faith in my family? Begin to pray for your family. I mean, you know, when there's a change, you need to tell people, "Look what the Lord's done." Notice that this was a Samaritan. It wasn't a Jew. Come on now, we should understand this in the day we're living in with the racism that goes on in this nation. This was a Samaritan. He wasn't supposed to be cleansed by Jesus. But notice the one who came back was a Samaritan to praise Him. And the Jewish lepers just took it for granted and kept on going. You see, they went to visit the priests. But on his way to visit the priests, the Samaritan became a priest. And he came back to worship the creator of the royal priesthood. And he was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "Were there not 10 lepers? But where are the 9? Were they not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? This alien? This Samaritan? Who's now at my feet cleansed, worshiping me, showing the
faith that he was on his way to go. And on his way, he said, I'm returning. I don't need the priests anymore because I've seen it for myself. I am cleansed. I don't need to have anybody tell me I'm cleansed. I can see it myself. I get worried about people in church that say, do you think I'm saved? I don't know. Can't you tell you're saved? Do you need to be told you're saved? You are saved if you know Jesus as Savior, and you've got a change in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 107 and 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would thank Him. That they would praise Him. He never even mentions what happened to the others, even though they didn't show gratitude. You see, God's gifts and callings are without repentance. They obeyed Him. He never said, come back. They obeyed Him. They were cleansed. But the unique thing about this is, they were cleansed physically, but the one who came back was cleansed physically and spiritually. He was cleansed spiritually. His soul was set right. How often I wonder if this is not a type of the church that looks for physical healings and physical results, but denies the spiritual results that God wants to give the church. The church that God birthed there at Acts in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The church that went through the book of Acts. And, you know, of course you know this, but I'll say it anyhow. Because if you don't know it, you'll know it after I say it. The book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that does not have a doxology at the end. It is the book that says you just keep on going. You keep on being the church. Amen. I don't know what chapter we are in the book of Acts, but I'm going to tell you right now, we've added to the 3,000 that were added after the first sermon that Peter preached in the book of Acts. Let me tell you something, my friend. We just keep going because we've been spiritually cleansed. We've been made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. If He never did anything for us again, He died on Calvary's cross, whereby we are saved. Amen. Whereby we are cleansed. Amen. Whereby we are free, amen, by the power and the anointing of Him. I want to read a scripture and to you that is going to bring the kind of a picture to you that what really happened. Maybe I'll preach this, but I just want to, one day I'll preach it, but I just want to read it to you. Zechariah in chapter 3, verses 2 through 9. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched out of the fire? That's what you are. You're a burning stick that was snatched out of the fire. Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes. He stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then they said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin and I will put fine garments on you. Sometimes I wonder why people come to church dressed the way they dress spiritually. They walk in bummed out, worn out, got the blouse or the shirt of trouble on, the shoes of despair, the belt of discouragement, the pants of unhappiness. I wonder why they don't come in with fine garments. Put on the garments of praise. Have the oil of gladness poured upon you. Smile because Jesus took you to the place, set you forth in the miracle. He redressed you. Amen. He has recreated you. He has brought you into His presence. You've been made whole. You don't stink any longer in sin. You smell the aroma of the glory, of the holiness, of the power, and the mercy, and the grace of the living God. Amen. Well, if you don't shout now, I don't know where your shouting button is, but I'm going to tell you, He is worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Then I said, put a clean turban on His head. So they put the clean turban on His head and clothed Him while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience in Me and keep My commandments, then you will govern My house. I gotta move forward. I'm going to say it. God wants you to govern. He don't want you to be ruled. Again, get your bit up. God wants you to govern. He doesn't want you to be ruled by the enemy. You need to govern where you walk. You need to possess where you take, where you walk when you enter. Put your foot down and you say, I own it. I'm going to serve in it. But when I stand alone, hallelujah. And have charge of My courts. And I will give you a place among these standing here. There's that word place again. I'm going to keep you in the place of miracles. Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you who are men symbolic of things to come, I'm going to bring My servant the branch. You see, He put him in the place, and Jesus was going to come in the place. Y'all just got to get this, man. This thing is rich. You've got to understand, you can walk out of here today all mully-grollied out and all bummed out and thinking, my God, I tell you, why has he preached so long? You can say, oh Lord, all the stuff you want to say and think, I'm going to tell you right now, I pray you walk out of here so wet with Jesus, so empowered by the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, that you know what you are taking with you and where you are taking it. And he said, go! Move in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Tell the devil, get out of here, devil. Because I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You can now realize why he came back. Praised him. He was free. He was free. He was free. Free to dance. Free to run. Hallelujah. You see what I'm trying to say to you? There needs to be a response when he heals your body. And a response when he touches your soul. You know, the Samaritan's nine friends, well, you know, they were out there, they were healed, but he came back to rejoice. And I just want to close with this song that we used to sing a long time ago. I'm certainly not going to try to sing it, but I'll tell you one thing, I remember and rejoice when we did sing it. It said, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Just in time. I'm going to praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you praise him today? Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Look what he's done. He has healed my body. He's touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise his name. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise him each day just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Where are you today? He's in the place. He's here. Shackles are broken. Chains have fallen off, in other words. The mind is clear and cleansed and free. He wants to give you the go command. Do you know Him today? Do you know Him as Savior? As the Lord your God? As the King of kings and the Lord of glory? Do you see, what He wants more than anything in the world is to cleanse your soul. I believe when you get saved in any church, you need to find a good church to go to. I think you just need to get into the kingdom of God and understand what it is to know Him as Savior. And I want to invite you today. Do you know Him as Savior?